A little boy came to Sunday school, and the teacher was talking about God and how nobody knew his name. You know, they know that his son's name was Jesus. And the boy said, "Oh, yes, I know God's first name." "Well, pray tell," the teacher said, I've been teaching Sunday school for 45 years. I've never heard that. He says, "Well, it's in the song." And he got the book and it says, "Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy..." His first name is Andy. It don't get any better than that, but I hope it doesn't get any worse today either. We're in the book of 2 Timothy as we study Paul's writing to his young protege, or if you're a Star Wars fan, maybe his Padawan. And Paul is giving him instruction. Now, Paul has left the area with Timothy. He's left him behind to teach. And he's gone on to other teaching, but he didn't want to leave him without information. He sort of, today we'd be sending emails back and forth or something like that, but Paul had the letters to write. This took place within less than 6 months, I suspect, after 1 Timothy was penned. And when 1 Timothy goes on to 2 Timothy, just keep right on going. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord." Lord, give us your grace. Give us peace within our heart and give us mercy each day we live, that we may pass it along to others as well. We live in troubled times, but we know that it's not the television, nor the internet, nor the radio or newspapers that will bring us instructions. It's your holy word. So let us look into the scriptures and see how hundreds and thousands of years ago you directed us to live. We are thankful for those who serve us, Father, in foreign fields, as missionaries and in our military. Thankful for those first responders and those who take care of us in the nursing field and in our education and these type of things, where we are blessed by them and bless them and strengthen them. We're thankful, Father, for fellow Christians who serve you as we do, who want to make things better. Bless them in their lives. Father, we're thankful for all the beautiful world you've given to us. May we be responsible and good as citizens as we take care of it and share it. Now give us your strength and blessing. Be with the speaker this hour, I pray in Christ's name, and amen. Paul, an apostle by the Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I mean, can you start any stronger than that? For we do say ourselves in our prayer, "Father, your will, not mine, be done." It was a prayer that Jesus used there on the mountain, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right prior, very close to prior to the time he would be arrested, tried illegally, brutally killed. Not for what he had done, but for what we have done. But he says, "Father, let this cup pass from me." In other words, I'd just as soon not have to be crucified and humiliated and all they're going to do. But, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." Paul saying it was the will of God that he became an apostle. And we know, if we have studied him, it is the will of God. Paul was a Jew leader of all. He was a great teacher, a man of the letters and the laws. And he was very, very active in what he did. But what he did was go out and arrest and kill Christians and try to stop the word of God. And God stopped it because that wasn't his will for Paul. Paul was blinded by the light. Paul was shown what was right and what was wrong. Paul was converted. Paul was educated. And Paul spent the rest of his life either teaching, preaching, or in chains, and sometimes both. I would hope that all of us in our daily lives do utter from time to time, if not continually, that we're doing the will of God. It's very important. Now, I'm not a doomsdayer. We're all going to die. Unless the rapture comes and takes us up right away, we're all going to eventually die. That's the plan of the world. But between now and that time, our responsibility, yet our opportunity, is to serve God. And hopefully by knowing his will and by following it. Well, how do we know the will of God? I got his book. It's got all the noise. It's got all the actions. It doesn't have any secrets. We're told what he expects us to do. So by following his book, his descriptions, his laying out by the apostles, we've done have an opportunity to serve him. So let's work the will of God. Let's go for that grace, that mercy, and that peace that only God can give us. You ever been upset about something? I mean, we've all been upset. I'm not talking about a ball game or who's going to win the race today or who gets elected, this, that, and the other. I'm talking about being physically and emotionally upset about something. And then a word comes to you from someone. Maybe even God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit and just comforts you. All of a sudden you're calm and you're prepared for it. It happens to a lot of people when they're facing a hardship, a surgery, the loss of a loved one. When they realize that everything will be all right. Because what happens to us here on earth is just a minor event compared to what will be our opportunity in heaven. And I truly doubt that anyone in here has gone through life without a little bit of confusion, a little bit of hardship, a little bit of heartbreak. And that's okay. We're not expected to do anything that Jesus didn't do. His best follower or friend, maybe, I don't know if you want to use that term about Simon Peter, turned his back on him. One of his followers denied him, turned him in. So there's a lot of things that goes on in life, but we can overcome it if we're doing it God's way. And that's why he's saying the will. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Now let me read to you with the phononics. I like the word phononics. I thank God, comma, that means rest for a second. Whom I serve, comma, rest for a second. As my ancestors did, comma, rest for a second. With a clear conscience, comma, rest for a second. Day and night, I continually remember you. We need to be serving God. Like Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and David did. And with those examples before us, the direction we take will be the right direction to go. I almost threw my cell phone out the window the other day because my GPS was lying to me. It did not tell me that right in the direction I was going, there was a canal with no bridge over that troubled water. And though I'd gone about 10 miles to get there, I had to undo the 10 miles, turn around and go 10 miles a different direction. It was lying to me. It hurt my feelings. But I kept it anyway. We can be led wrong if we listen to the wrong things, the wrong people, the wrong way at the wrong time. And that's where discerning comes to help us. So we need to thank God. We need to serve God. We need to have a clear conscience. We need to remember each other in our prayers. Recalling your tears, Timothy, he says. I put the word Timothy in there. It's another comma. I long to see you. Now, except for our two little ones back in the nursery, I don't know that another person in this building right here today was born in Punta Gorda. Anybody else born in Punta Gorda? Got it right. Got lucky. So we've all been led here for a reason. I'll tell you what else happens when we're led here. We've left some people behind. Children, parents, families, cousins, best friends, our home church, our jobs. We've left people behind. And we miss them from time to time, and that's just okay. It's just okay to have friends, to have relationships with people that we lift up and build up with each other and pray and care for them. That's just okay. That's the way the families were made. Do you realize that as Jesus took that 3.5-year journey in his ministry, that he had left his mother and his brothers and his two sisters behind? And he saw them infrequently when they came to him because his job was to go about preaching and teaching the good news about his Father and the hope for mankind. And he had to somewhat turn his back on them to accomplish it. Becky has a phrase about the two of us as we get involved in a lot of activities. You can't do it all. Do you ever just go straight? You remember, I was born in 51, so this was mid-50s, I think. Somebody came out with a genius idea of something called Silly Putty. You remember Silly Putty? Yeah. Well, you get it and you roll it out and then you put it over top of the colored comic strips on Sunday. You know, the greens, blues. And you could take that Silly Putty and roll it down. And if you peel it off, it picks it up. And if you hold it, the silly putty starts getting heavy and it starts stretching. You know? And olive oil with a little round face becomes big old long face, and stuff like that happens. Until you let it stretch too far and it pops a hole in the middle. And you can't tell what it is anymore. We often let our lives get stretched too far. And we get away from the important stuff. And we lose the goal that we're after. Because so many people want to do so much. Those of you who have ever been in the medical field, particularly, my mother was a nurse. My mother was a redheaded nurse. I don't know what that has to do with it, but she had a short fuse some days. But somebody's hollering in, go to room 47, in room 3, and I need this, and I got the wrong TV station. All, and so much goes on in their lives. And after a while, you wonder, why do they keep doing that? I think because they're a blessing to God, and it's good. But don't let us get so stretched out in this world. Timothy, don't get so stretched out in trying to meet the people's wants that you forget about the people's needs, and that is to know God. And when we get too far away from God, we lose sight of what is important. And we get so backed up trying to live, we forgot about living. And everyday things can get in our way. And we can be depressed, we can be upset, we can be short-sighted and cross, whatever it is. Saturn headache number 33. Mother, please, I'd rather do it myself. You remember those? They were in black and white back when they showed them the first time. Too often we get that way that we need to say, I can't do it by myself. I need help. Or maybe you can't do it by yourself. You need help. Let me be an assistant. Let me help you through the tough times. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, that I might be filled with joy. Can you imagine just seeing an old friend would make the Apostle Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, happy? I'm going to see my sister today for the second time since her husband passed a couple years ago. She's down, going to visit. I'm going to go see her. And there'll be some crying and talking about mom and her grandkids and my grandkids and different things, because we share 60-some years of memories. And that's just okay, too. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. The hand that rocks the cradles rules the world, it has been said. Right here, Paul knew that the influence of his grandmother and his mother influenced Timothy to be a good man, a follower of Jehovah, and now a follower of this Jesus Christ that Paul served. Well, we all can't be Eunice's, and we all can't be Lois's. I look terrible in a dress. It just doesn't work for me. But tell you what we can be, influencers and helpers and aides and somebody you look up to. And growing up, one of the most influential people in my life, besides my grandparents, was my football coach. They'd holler at you. They'd fuss at you. They'd kick you in the backside and make you run laps. But he still had an influence because he tried to teach us the right thing to do. Shouldn't we be that way? Now, maybe we're not going to stand on the corners. I hope a sign. The end is coming. Is the guy in Arcadia still help with the sign and preach and shout every other Friday, Saturday? He does. I thought so. Well, we may not want to do that. But by the way we live, the type of speech we use, the activities we're involved in, the concern we have, we can be that preacher. No, excuse me. We can be that sermon. And that's what we really should do. And Eunice, Lois were that way. And Timothy now has picked up on it. Anybody ever tell you, just like your grandparents or just like your parents, and you never knew whether you wanted to thank them or hit them? Hopefully you thanked them for it. Because you cared about them. For this reason, Paul says, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through laying on of my hands. I was not a Boy Scout. We lived too far from town to get there. You know, I had been a wilderness trail just to go to town. But I have seen the books. And these guys would take a stick. Then they'd take another stick. They'd take a string and tie between the two ends of one stick. They'd take that first stick and they put it down on a piece of wood. Then they get little sprinkles of stuff, maybe some tinder, they would call it. They put it all down there. Then they take that stick And hopefully they put something on their palm or they're going to cut a hole in their hand. They go, psh, 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 psh. And that friction from the first stick rolling around and around will get warm. And then you see a little bit of spark. And then you go, psh, psh, psh. Not hard. Psh, psh, psh. Get a little air going. And the flame would start. And if you're smart enough, then you put something else on it and get the flame going. The spark of one flame can be tremendous. We've had whole forests in this country burned down because of one match. Well, we can also have lives changed by a spark of the flame from God. And that's what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. Be that spark and share it. Go out and care for people and let them know that God loves them first. He says, fan the flame, the gift of God. Now, every Sunday night growing up, we had a barbecue at our house. Charcoal takes a long time to get the giddy up going. One day, I took my mother's $400 Electrolux vacuum cleaner and a big old long extension cord and the hose pipe. And I turned the thing around backwards. I turned it around backwards. And right at the base of the fire, I put that going out hose pipe. And it started blowing. The problem is, I didn't realize that in about 8 minutes you could burn a whole charcoal briquette up if you had enough air going to it. So we had to start over. But you get that oxygen going, you get that flame going, you fan it, and great fire comes from it, and that's the way our life should be. We need to fan the flame of God in us. Be active and powerful in doing it. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. There's a sign that used to be on a lot of front of cars. It says, God is my co-pilot. I had a friend say, if God is your co-pilot, change seats. God should be the pilot. But when we are going in the right direction, great things can happen. He says, the Spirit of God. I'm going to go back a little bit. Matter of fact, I don't even know to go find it. I can just read it to you and just tell it to you. Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, the second chapter of Acts. And after he pretty much laid out the sins of Israel for killing Jesus, and some of them would have been there probably, they wondered what they should do. And Peter said on that sermon, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of salvation. Your sins will be forgiven, and you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in all Christians. Now, some of us grew up in a time where the Pentecostals were going crazy and the churches were withdrawn, the conservative church were withdrawn from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's there. He's within us. He gives us strength. We need to call upon Him. Not for great signs and wonders like some do, but for strength and functioning properly, for serving and getting by the tough times. That's what the Spirit's for. He is our comforter. In the first chapter of Acts, just before this had happened, Christ was on the Mount of Olives and the apostles were there with Him. And as He's talking to them, He's talking about coming back. As He's talking to them, He starts going up into heaven, just rising straight up into heaven. And they were, what is going on? He told us to go to Jerusalem and wait for the comforter. Then the angels came and said, you men of Jerusalem, go back there and wait for Him. For this same Jesus that you saw going to the sky shall be back to receive you one day. It's what we call the rapture, when He's coming back to gather His children and the souls of all those who are dead that belong to Him, to Him. What a great promise. And when we have that in the back of our mind, we know that God loves us, Christ died for us, we shall never be overcome by Satan or any hardship. Yes, some of us will suffer. Physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. We're not made to walk out of this world 100% even. We're made to walk out of this world 100% forgiven. Saved by the grace of God. And there is where our power and strength comes from. He said, let us not be timid. I got to make a confession. I was a premature child and stayed short all my life. I was a short, fat little kid and adult. My daddy took a number two blade on a Sears and Roebuck shaver and burned my head off every Sunday. Saturday night, go to church. And I was afraid of people. Didn't like to talk to people. Little country boy, you walk around like that, you know. Don't have nothing to say, just listen. I was the most timid. I was scared of my own shadow. Not today. But we can't let that conquer us. We got to say God will help us through whatever situation. Like Joe, I've preached in front of hundreds. I've preached in front of 8,000 people at one time. Let me tell you, God will get you where he wants you to be if you listen. If you take the path he's laid out for you. If you follow and you just trust and obey. How's that song go? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. God will use you. Oh, but the world's more complicated, Dwight. We've got internet and we've got cell phones and we've got communists. You don't think they had trouble in the time of Jesus? You ever heard of the Roman army? The Grecian army? All the Peloponnesian Wars, they had troubles back then, and those things were minor compared to what God would do for his people. And I don't think it's changed one bit. Matter of fact, I think the closer we get to the end of times, I do believe, the closer God is to us. And he's going to help us even more if we allow him to, if we believe it, and if we call on him to be our God. That's what this is all about. Don't worry. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord that made me. Paul was in prison. This great teacher, this great doctor of the law, was arrested, beaten, tried, shipwrecked, bitten by the snake, etc., etc., etc. He didn't let that worry him because he was serving Jesus. And folks, let me tell you, we cannot let that bother us when we are serving Jesus. Rather join me in suffering for the gospel. Not for personal things. Not for prestige or power. But for God's Son. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. God had a plan. You don't think so? I'll look it up for you unless you want to follow me. You're more than welcome to, because I'm going to tell you exactly where I'm turning. I'm turning to the book of Genesis right now. The very, very, very first chapter is in here somewhere. And God said in verse 26, chapter 1, let us, now if you're an English major, that means plural, let us make man in our, also plural, image, that they may rule over the fish in the sea and etc. We go back several chapters to the book of John. It's called the book of love. Book of John, that's in the New Testament. Chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. He was with God from in the beginning. Throughout him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true life, light, verse 9, that gives light to everyone that is coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. And he goes on the rest of that first part of the chapter. No one has seen God except they've seen Jesus. So let me tell you, Jesus has always been there for us. From before there was a time, there was God and his Son. Because of that, at the end of time, when the Rolex or the Timex or that watch that talks to you, Apple X or something like that, when those things are all gone and mean nothing, God is still there. And because of that, we have hope. I want you to leave here today. I mean, I got another 45 minutes in this sermon, so you're going to hear the rest of it next week. But I want you to leave here today positive. Positively knowing that God positively loves you, that Jesus positively died for you, and they both have positively prepared a place for us that we positively may go to be with him for a time eternal when there is no time. And boy, you know, what's that old song say? Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. Leave here today doing that. As you walk, as you talk, as you smile, as you befriend people, let them see in your life that Jesus Christ is your Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords.